star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Oh, yeah. Highway patrol. Highway patrol means one thing is a return of safety talk here on KWHI, AM 1280 from 101.7, Craig, Montana. Join every couple of Thursdays from the DPS, our good buddy, Sergeant Stephen Woodard from the DPS studio, as he's coming in after being cautious and watching those highways and byways and grass ways and all of it. You do everything, don't you?
All of it. And you know what? We're happy to do it. We're happy to do it, and we're happy to serve not only our state, but our local communities. And Craig, I'm feeling good this morning.
How are you now?
Man, I woke up this morning and I looked out, and this is no, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
Birds were chirping. Now, I have a bird. I told you about the bird we have, right?
The parrot of the backpack. Yeah.
And, you know, that thing walks around the house, and it's a trip. So birds were chirping. Kids were still asleep when I left. I looked over and seen my lovely bride, and all was well. Then I got a little bit more excited when I knew I was coming to see you, Brother Craig. How you been, brother?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad to have you in.
Well, I'm not here by myself.
Yeah, you're not. You brought a guest.
You can't row a boat. Well, you probably can, but it's better when you have a couple of folks with you. You'll win the competition.
Take a little slack off, yeah.
I mean, this guy here, you guys are about to know him, and you better get to know him. And we're going to talk about the job function of not only the fireman, but our fire marshal. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Fire Marshal Williams. How you doing, brother?
Wonderful, sir. Thanks for having me on this morning.
What's going on?
Oh, just getting ready for the holiday season.
Well, I'm happy you're here. We're going to talk about a few things. We got a lot to get into, and just chime in as we go. And, you know, we'll have a couple of questions for you. And the reason why we brought the fire marshal in, of course, is because of the holiday season. Tell folks, what does the fire marshal do?
Well, actually, my job is fairly dynamic. I'm in all facets of the department, actually. I spend most of my time is dealt with economic development and doing plan reviews for commercial development, and obviously fire prevention, public education, safety is a big, big part of what I do.
Man, you got the boys coming. I hear sirens.
I hear them going by now. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're hard at work already this morning.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, I also do things like this, community outreach, whatever we can do to promote not only our department, our community, but just safety in general.
It's important.
Yep, absolutely.
So you're new to the state of Texas.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a cowboy hat?
I do. I've got a black felt hat. Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Do you have a pair of boots?
I do. I've got a couple.
Okay. All right. Belt buckle?
Well, kind of a buckle.
All right, buckle. All right,
I don't have one of those fancy buckles, though. I've seen those. Those are pretty cool.
What else? Now, I'm going down the line because, look, a lot of folks think that's how Texans dress. Now, quite frankly, I wear my cowboy hats and all that on and off duty, but I just want to make sure you had your Texan starter kit. If you didn't, we would point you in the right direction. Our sheriff, Otto, he most definitely can point you in the right direction with all the bling. So let me ask you this. Go ahead.
I think we got a phone call here today real quickly. Good morning. This is Safety Talk today. Have a question?
I was just going to say that I'm looking for a Yorkie.
Oh, you're looking for the country store ends at 9 o'clock. This is Safety Talk today. Just call back tomorrow in the 8 o'clock. We only do it in the 8 o'clock hour of the country store.
Okay, sorry. Right.
That's okay. Thank you. There you go. Sorry about that.
No problem. So what state are you from?
Kansas.
Okay, so the big state of Kansas, and I know a bunch of Kansas state troopers, a lot of them, Todd and a bunch of public information guys, and they're always surprised at our fatality numbers here in the state. Right now, we're sitting, as of today, at 3,380 folks dead. 3,380.
That's too many.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's just individuals that are doing the simple task of just driving from point A to B, something we all do every day. And I tell folks, and we say this on this program, driving is the most dangerous thing that the average person will do every day. Just simple driving. So as a reminder, as we always do, continue to buckle up, because I will tell you this, in this state, we have an extremely high compliance of individuals wearing their safety belt. Unfortunately, we had some incidents in Brazoria County and in Wharton County to where individuals were not wearing the seatbelts, and they're not here. Matter of fact, two young kids, 4 and 2, and the driver, all three of them are dead because they weren't wearing their seatbelt. This happened Saturday evening. Five individuals died, Craig, in one vehicle crash on the big U.S. Highway 59, and no seatbelts. So they truly save lives, and you have a higher chance of surviving a vehicle crash and injuries if you do wear them. Again, when you're traveling down the road, make sure you're not impaired and keep your eyes on the road and be watchful for all distractions. So today, well, before I get started, Craig, do you have your lights up?
Well, yeah, we got our trees up.
What?
We got a tree up.
That's it?
Yeah. I don't do the whole lights and everything outdoors.
We, no, blow up? Nope.
No, we don't do all that. We just do the tree inside and, you know, the decorations.
But when Halloween comes around, you go all out.
No, we don't do that either. It's just we do it inside. It's just for us.
Well, Craig, my house is lit up.
Is it now? That's not a work.
It is. Well, wait a minute, my friend. We, you know, I used to do the whole deal of, you know, getting a buddy of mine. You know, I presented this particular company that rents, you know, these cherry pickers, and he would bring one out to me, and I would, you know, do the whole cherry picker deal and get the lights up myself. But now it's just much easier to pay a guy to do it.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like going to your favorite supermarket or just sitting at home and ordering your groceries online and somebody coming in and bringing it to you. Go ahead, Craig.
There you go. We got a phone call here. Good morning. This is Safety Talk today. Have a question?
Yes, I just wanted to thank the DPS, the local police department, the local sheriff's department for all that they do, and ask them to stay safe out there. And thank you.
We appreciate it, darling. You know, I'll tell you this. Where do you live, by the way?
In Brenham.
You live in Brenham. Well, I say this all the time, and I said it actually the last time we were here. You have probably one of the finest police chiefs here in the state, and of course, very fine, Sheriff. So you're in good hands, my dear. We appreciate your love, and we appreciate your recognition.
Okay. Well, y'all just stay safe out there, and thank you for all you do.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the phone call today.
So my house is looking pretty much just short of the Griswolds. We got it going on.
Okay. All right.
It's lit up.
Go for it.
And, yeah, hey, that's our thing. And Christmas has always been a time of year, even as a little boy, that I've enjoyed. I've always enjoyed the lights and the glam and glitter. So we're there. So my question to myself every time I'm putting them up, I always wonder if I'm doing it safely.
Mm-hmm.
I try to cover the exposed electrical ends with tape. I don't know if I'm doing that right, but that's one thing that makes me a little nervous, Craig. I'm being serious, because even last weekend we went to the mall or whatever, and it was raining pretty bad. And I had the lights on. I got halfway away from my house and I turned back around because we had the lights. I don't know. I love the lights, but I'm always getting nervous when it comes to that, because electricity, water, et cetera. Am I doing it right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. Any advice you can give the folks, Marshall?
Yeah, I mean, actually, this time of year, there's a lot of different safety tips and tricks. But, you know, especially with the outside lights, one of the big things is people need to take into consideration the all-weather extension cords and multi-plug adapters, because those are specifically designed for, like, the construction industry, where they're going to get exposed to dirt, dust, water, that type of stuff. You know, your little those little thin extension cord multi-plug adapters, those are probably not your best bet, because they typically can't handle a lot of amperage.
Right.
The good thing is now today, though, a lot of the Christmas lights that we see are LEDs, and so they're even less of an amperage draw, so it doesn't take as much power to run those.
Versus
the regular, normally the old style bulb style, but the LEDs are pretty low amperage. But yeah, just, you know, as you daisy chain them, just make sure, again, you're using like an all-weather type extension cord. You've got, again, sounds like you're doing a great thing by covering up your connection points.
See, I did something right, Craig.
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. And then try and share that load throughout. Don't plug everything into one outlet, because in your breaker system, it can only handle so much. And unfortunately, what we've experienced is people, it trips their breaker, and they just continue to trip and reset. Instead of sharing that load across their breaker system, they start to, eventually that breaker will wear out, and it may fault. And then that defeats the purpose of that breaker, and you could have an electrical fire.
So what is probably in your, not in your opinion, but just based on your experience, I mean, my friends, we're talking about an individual that's been serving well over 20 years for the community in the fire business. What is probably the number one contributing factor to a house fire, so to speak, during this time of year?
Believe it or not, it's unattended cooking. A lot of time it's the unattended cooking part of it, family gatherings and things of that nature.
See, I was going to say something like, try to be a smart guy and say something like the heater or whatever, that electric heater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right. Cedars, that, yeah.
But that's not the leading cause. I mean, there are incidences where, and unfortunately, sometimes people will use generators. You know, this time of year, especially when the economy gets strained, people use generators because they can't afford to pay the electric bill. So they'll borrow either a neighbor's power or they'll use a generator to run powers. And then we have to deal with the carbon monoxide and candles.
Candles are
usually a pretty big thing.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing also is I see more people going towards the artificial trees, but there's still a good fair amount of people that love that experience of having that fresh cut green tree.
The most
important part of that, though, is just making sure you keep it wet, because they will dry out. They take a lot of water, and once those things dry out, they will light up pretty quickly. And
So
there's a couple little things like that, but you know, unattended cooking, everybody kind of gets involved in kind of the family nuance, and then they kind of forget about, oh, well, we've got this in the oven, or we deep fry a turkey or whatever, and then we have, you know, some type of injury or something like that, a fire.
I like that. I like it. Craig, what you think?
I don't know.
Well, we're trying to motivate you to put your Christmas lights up.
No, I've never put up lights. Just never done it.
I'm not a great big TikTok guy, but I did see a really cool video on because I'm like you. I have a Christmas tree up, but I don't have any lights up.
Yeah.
But they showed where they take a 3/4 inch PVC pipe and cut it in half, and then take a 1/2 inch pipe and zip tie the strings or the string lights to it.
Okay.
And then they take that 3/4 inch pipe and just cut it in sections and screw that to wherever you want it on the house, and then it just snaps in, and then it just folds together, so it's real easy to.
Oh, there you go.
And I thought, man, what an ingenious idea! Instead of trying it up there, stapling and trying to hook and tie and everything.
That makes sense.
My deal, the whole thing is, you know, getting up on the ladders and all. That's just not my.
Somebody help Craig out. We want to get some lights on this.
That's
man.
That's not what I do. I don't do ladders and roofs and heights. I don't.
I'm with you. Well,
2 feet on terra firma.
I'm with you. Well, speaking of lights. Go ahead, Craig.
We're going to take a break real fast. We're getting to that. Hold that thought. We're talking about lights coming back.
Talking about lights.
Okay, we'll come back.
That's the theme
talk
today.
979-836-9937. If you have questions this morning, we got guys here who can answer those questions for you here on Safety Talk this morning. 979-836-9937, or send an email to mail, M-A-I-L @KWHI.com. Back after this.
ASCO is on it in Brenham. ASCO's new dealership is open for business, located at the address on Highway 290 West. ASCO is your premier Brenham Case construction equipment dealership. At ASCO, we're excited to better serve customers by providing close, convenient access to the Case lineup of award-winning light and heavy-duty equipment. Whether you're looking for machines, attachments, parts, rental, or business support, you can expect fast, friendly service from ASCO's local team of experts. We're here to get the job done and get it done right. At ASCO, we're on it, whatever it is.
This holiday season, include downtown Brenham in your shopping plans. Need a gift idea? Stop historic downtown Brenham's only liquor store, 1844 Liquor Market. They specialize in carefully curated beer, wine, liquor, and newly added market goods. Consider booking the newly renovated side door venue located above 1844 Liquor Market for your holiday party. Stop by and check out what's new at 210 South Park Street. Looking to give a gift with sentiment? The Downtown Art Gallery at 113 West Alamo features works by talented area artists, beautiful paintings, wood turnings, photographs, jewelry, stained glass, sculptures, and many other art pieces, and it's all for sale. Get a glimpse at 113 West Alamo, open 7 days a week. If you're feeling hungry after all that shopping, visit Pioneer Smokehouse and Mercantile, right in the heart of historic downtown Brenham. Get some great food, cold drinks, and your Christmas shopping done all in one place with a Mercantile store that's full of local art and gift items. You can find them online at pioneerbrenham.com. Downtown Brenham has it all for the holidays.
Born is the King of Israel. What wonderful words shouted so long ago. Everyone at K&M Grocery, Highway 36 South in Brenham, sends heartfelt holiday wishes to you and your family this holiday season. And thank you so much for your patronage throughout the past year. Take a break from the hustle and bustle of the season. Stop in K&M Grocery, where good friends come together for fun and relaxation. Highway 36 South in Brenham. The K&M Grocery wishes you a wonderful and safe holiday season.
The owners and employees of Kiki Egg Farm would like to take this opportunity to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We have been in business nearly 60 years. We would like to thank all of our customers for their loyalty and support, because without you, this would not have been possible. Remember, Kiki's eggs are not a warehouse egg. They are delivered straight from our farm to the grocery store. You can find Kiki's Farm Fresh Eggs at your local grocer or convenience store. God bless, and thank you again from Kiki Egg Farm.
Sidefair Tire is now in Brenham at 3201 Highway 36 South. Sidefair Tire specializes in quality name brand tires for your car, light truck, tractor, and commercial vehicles. Need new tires but don't have the cash? Sidefair Tire is now offering 90 days same as cash financing. They can finance any tire purchase, whether for your car, tractor, or commercial vehicle, and it's easy as 1, 2, 3, and only takes a few minutes. When you need tires, choose Sidefair Tire. Just past Walmart on 36 South in Brenham.
Apple Ford invites you to join them downtown at the Courthouse Square this Friday evening at 5:30 for the lighting of the Christmas tree. Friendly Country KWHI will be broadcasting live thanks to our sponsor, Apple Ford, where you'll find a vehicle for every lifestyle. Shop 24/7 at appleford.com or stop in at Highway 290 West in Brenham, where one of their friendly sales staff will meet you at the door. Then join Apple Ford for the lighting of the Christmas tree in downtown Brenham this Friday.
Welcome back once again. Safety Talk here on KWHI, AM 1280 from 101.7 this morning on this Thursday. Sergeant Woodard in studio today with our fire marshal here in Brenham. And appreciate you gentlemen coming and talking with us today.
Marshal, we appreciate you coming in. What theme song is that?
It's a police theme song.
All right. That's good.
Hang on. It's not Hawaii 5-0. It's Barnaby Jones. No.
Think motorcycle.
Oh, Chips.
You got it, man. Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Yeah, we like that one.
And you just won a free cup of coffee that Ed made. We appreciate you coming in. And, Craig, you know how I feel about you. So we're talking about lights here, you know, yes. Christmas lights and all this good stuff.
They're awesome.
They are.
Pretty to look at.
Real quick, we're seeing a lot of individuals that are not in compliance with the state's lighting requirement when it comes to operating a vehicle on the roadway. Mm. And this is what we're seeing, Marshall. We're seeing individuals with, illegal light bars, et cetera. But one thing that's really a hazard and that's dangerous is these lighting covers on the rear tail lamps.
Mm.
So you've probably seen a vehicle going down the road, and Craig has seen it, where an individual has a tinted cover over the tail lamp.
Little smoky covers on them, yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a problem. And we'll tell you why here in a minute. So first things first, you can't have those covers on the back of that tail lamp. You just can't. Now, it looks good. It does. If you have a black vehicle or a white vehicle and you contrast it with that black dark tinted cover, man, it looks good. Let's just be honest. Yeah. But you're in violation of the law. But aside of that, that rear vehicle lamp, that actual lens cover, it has to be clean as well. Mm. Because the whole thing that we're trying to convey to you as a listener is we want you to be able to present as much light to that individual behind you as possible according to atmospheric conditions.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you here, are those lenses, are they legal in other states to where that's why they can sell those things? Or
We talked about this last time we were here, that some states don't even have a seatbelt enforcement law. I really haven't checked, but what I can tell you is this. When you have those lens covers on the back tail lamps of your vehicle, you press your brakes, the individual behind you can't see you.
Yeah.
They can't see the warning that you're stopping, mm-hmm. period. My mother was in an accident, and she was the one with the, no, I'm just kidding, but she hit a vehicle and she couldn't see it. Now, here's the deal. We always talk about failure to control speed, and generally when there's a rear end crash, the individual that struck the individual from the rear, we consider that fail to control speed. But we look at the totality of the situation and say, wait a minute, this person had unapproved equipment. How could they control their speed if they couldn't see the warning device? So all motor vehicles, and keep this in mind, are required to have functioning stop lamps, period. Functioning stop lamps. Anytime you take your foot and depress the brake, a stop lamp should illuminate. Would you agree with that, Marshall?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And would you agree with me that's important?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, good. The stop lamp must do this. It must emit either red or amber, somewhere in between, not green, not the show color white. We're seeing that.
Yeah.
Especially in a little town, you guys may have heard of it over there in Houston, where you have a lot of different car clubs, et cetera. And that's fine. And that's great. I used to belong to a motorcycle club years ago, but here's the deal: those lighting provisions, number one, they're not safe, and it's not legal to operate on the roadway. So, a stop lamp must emit red, amber, or any shade in between. Period. No other color. We're seeing a lot of blues. We're seeing a lot of whites when people are pressing on their brake lamps. Stop lamp must be visible. A visibility of at least 300 feet. We're just talking about the stop lamp, and that's up under normal atmospheric conditions, meaning just a beautiful day like it is today. Stop lamp must be visible, so it must be level to where an individual can see it, and it must operate in conjunction with the foot, with the brake. It must.
Yeah,
you'll be surprised how some individuals, they press on their, they put that aftermarket system on there to where they have a third brake lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And when they press the brake, it kind of flashes.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Yeah, the blinky ones.
We found through our inspection friends that sometimes that throws off the pattern. So you have an individual pressing a brake,
mm-hmm.
and the actual brakes start, they won't illuminate to the rear to about a quarter of a second.
Ah.
That's a long time when you're talking about, you know, stop and go traffic. Think about that. And again, if that stuff is not working properly, you could find yourself not passing your state inspection, period. Now, with your tail lamps, we're not talking about stop lamps. That's basically your stop lights in the rear. When you press the brake, it illuminates. We're talking about just tail lamps now, meaning you're driving at night and you turn on your front headlights, and in conjunction, your tail lamps operate. Those tail lamps are important, all right? They're extremely important because if you get stranded on the side of the road or you're pulling over check the kiddo in the back seat at night, that's the only way individuals are going to be able to see you. So every motor vehicle shall be equipped with at least two tail lamps, period. Unless if the vehicle was manufactured prior to 1960, in which cases, you know, we have some of those vehicles, they only need one. Isn't that something?
That is something, yeah.
Yeah, they only need one mounted to the rear on each side. So here's the deal. The illumination is a little different when it comes to the tail lamp. So we said the stop lamp was 300 feet in normal atmospheric conditions, something like today. The tail lamp, and again, the tail lamp is just the lights that are in the rear that are illuminating all the time as you're traveling down the roadway. The state says that that needs to be visible at a distance of 1,000 feet to the rear, period. So make sure all of that is working properly. I tell folks all the time, especially when you get ready to start doing some traveling, do a once over around the vehicle. Matter of fact, I got home, I pulled into the drive a little after 7 p.m. yesterday, and I said, you know what, man, let me take a look at the vehicle, because I knew I was going to be talking about lights today. And I went around my patrol car, made sure everything was good, but I found some discrepancies.
Ah.
My front headlights and rear headlight, I mean, my front headlights and the rear tail lamps were extremely dirty. From the rain,
yeah.
Bug matter, etc. So try not to reduce your visibility and make sure all of that stuff is clean, working properly to prevent an accident with you or your neighbor and friend.
Yeah, I think we got a phone call here today. Good morning. This is Safety Talk. Good morning. Safety Talk today. You have a question? Hello? Well, we had somebody there.
No problem. No problem.
Okay. All right, call back. We'll get you on today.
So,
again.
So check this out, Craig. Did you know that every motor vehicle has to have some type of reflector on the rear of the vehicle? Now, somebody's saying, wait a minute, Troop. And we're really a stickler on reflective material when it comes to our big truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
But you have reflective material on the rear of your vehicle, and you do too, Marshall. That's your tail, those tail lamp covers, those lens covers.
Okay.
And that's part of it.
Right.
They have to reflect. So state law says that every motor vehicle in this state shall carry on the rear, either as part of the tail lamp or separately, right? Separately to a more reflective pieces of equipment. The rear reflect on the vehicle shall reflect the color red, period. Shall reflect the color red. That's very important to know. We're seeing a lot of yellow. We're seeing a lot of kind of like a neon green. We need red. Red is required pretty much on the rear of vehicles, and it may be incorporated with the tail lamp. If you have a broken tail lamp, cracked, whatever the case may be, that could be considered as a defective tail lamp, whatever. I keep red reflective tape in my patrol car. I've been having the same roll of reflective tape in my car probably for 12 years, the same roll. And if I roll up on someone with a cracked tail lamp or whatever, no big deal. We'll let them know and we'll cover it up and we'll continue on about our business. Turn signals, well, which is something that we don't use. Yeah, I know,
not
Craig.
Not near enough.
I know. And I've done my own personal survey. I didn't get these numbers from the state, but I've done my own personal survey. We're not using them, and we need to warn our individuals what our intentions are. So we're talking about lights. Basically, a signal is just to show your intentions, what you're getting ready to do. And that signal shall be the white or amber in the front. White or amber in the front. We're seeing everything else. Christmas colors, green, blue, etc. White amber. And on the rear, guess what? Red amber. Period. No, I mean, that's it. White or amber in the front, red amber in the rear. And we hold this to be true, because we want folks to be in compliance with the law. We also convey this to our troopers and police officers in the police academy, because we want everyone to be in compliance with the lighting law, because it could cause some confusion. Again, visibility is important, extremely important. So what type of vehicles are y'all running over there?
As far as like...
Like a regular... Would you do SUVs or something
right.
like that?
I have a Tahoe, and then we also run a couple crew cab pickups.
Okay, and then you guys have, you know, of course, the beautiful... I mean, you guys haven't... I'm not trying to put anything on the chief, but if you guys haven't visited the Brenham Fire Department, what a beautiful structure. Every time I'm coming in, Craig, I see the fire trucks sitting out front. They're clean, and I'm getting chill bumps. They're ready for service. Will you guys, I mean, I know in my neighborhood, Santa's going to ride around on the back. Are you guys doing that?
Well, this year the parade has changed. I think there's still some discussion as far as we're looking at some alternate measures to try and get Santa out around town.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not exactly abreast of all the full details yet. They're looking at, because the vehicle that Santa rides on is our aerial ladder truck, and it's a very big truck, and it, you know, it doesn't fit down just any ordinary street. So we want to make sure we don't knock Santa off. That would be bad if we knock Santa off.
That'll be bad.
Off the fire truck. But so we're looking at some options. Unfortunately, like I said, with the COVID, the downtown parade has been kind of postponed or canceled, but we still want to get Santa, and if he can come to, from the North Pole to Brenham, and we're going to sure get him around town.
Well, I'm sure between you and the fire chief, you guys will figure something out, because I know you have a close relationship with good old Saint Nick. Well, let me ask you this. As we're preparing for him to come in, because he's coming, you got any safety tips for us for the Christmas season as we get ready to move in? Because I always listen to Craig's program, The Country Store, and he mentioned something that was interesting. He said, man, you know, Thanksgiving was literally a week away. And then here we are, we're closing in on Christmas. Anything for us to keep us safe and get us ready in the mindset of safety?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, the biggest thing is smoke detectors. Make sure you've got functioning smoke detectors. One of the things that a lot of people aren't aware of is they've got a shelf life like most everything else. They're only good for about 10 years, the detector itself. So even though you might be replacing the battery every 6 months, if it's a 15-year-old smoke detector, it's time to replace the entire detector. A lot of things, you know, growing up, a lot of the games and stuff required a 9-volt battery or even the remote control. So he was always taking the smoke detector battery to use for the remote control. Well, now, fortunately, that we don't use that many things that use 9-volt batteries anymore. But they've even increased that now to where they've integrated the batteries into the smoke alarm. That's a 10-year battery, inconsistent with the life of the battery. So so basically, it's 10 years, you pitch the whole thing and you replace it and go over and start over with the new one. That's most important, definitely, because that early notification gets into early evacuation. Make sure if you've got kids and family members, make sure you've got an escape plan.
Sure.
Or a meeting place. You know, that's one of the things we, in our bucket brigade, that we go around to the schools and we share with the kids, you know, have a meeting place. And so we have accountability of where everybody's at, because that's one of the first things we want to know is, are we going in for rescue mode? Is somebody still inside?
So this is it. So basically, essentially, you're saying have a fire drill plan at your home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if they want to call or come by, we can give them a graph diagram that shows them how to put all that together.
Okay.
And we'll gladly go over if they have issues with their smoke alarms or they have questions. I know sometimes the elderly folks, they're not comfortable getting on ladders and things of that nature.
Well, we know Craig is not.
Well, Craig can come give us a call and we'll come over and we'll be glad to help out with your smoke alarms.
All right. What else?
Like we talked about cooking safety, fire extinguishers, you know, it's always a good idea to have a fire extinguisher available in your house in case you do have a fire.
Are the fire, like, let's say if I go to Walmart or wherever and you see those little fire extinguishers, I bought two, kind of like a white cylinder. I think they're made by, I don't know, First Aid or something. Mm-hmm. Are those good or is that just a...
Yeah, for the home use, they are.
Because, so in my church, you know, we always check the fire extinguishers and we're pretty good at that. But the fire extinguishers, like even in this building, they're industrial.
Right.
But that little extinguisher I have, I mean, Craig, it's kind of like just something we bought at Walmart for 20. Is that good?
It is. I mean, it serves its purpose because typically you're going to hopefully have a smaller fire, whether it's trash can fire or something on the stove, something small.
Yeah.
In a commercial setting, you've got a lot more combustible material and more of a potential for rapid spread of fire. So you need a little bit bigger, more heavy duty fire extinguisher that has, they go by poundage, typically 5 pounds, 10 pounds, so on. Okay. But yeah, the little white ones or even the little red ones made by Kitty or First Alert, those are all good smoke or fire extinguishers to have at your house. And, you know, just put it under your sink. And if you got room or, you know, ideally it's great to just mount it if you can. I know a lot of people don't like to mount them. They're kind of an eyesore. They kind of stick out there. But if it's out there, you know it's there.
We put out, and that's something to think about. Maybe I need to switch up, but because of the eyesore, I mounted that one under the sink, and the other one is actually mounted outside. And I had the thought, because we have like a little outdoor kind of kitchen deal, and maybe I need to mount it to where everyone can see it.
Yeah.
And I probably need to teach everybody to be able to use it. But here's the golden question. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm taking up your. If you have any questions for the marshal, please call in. Probably the one outside is expired.
Yes.
What's the? And this is a serious question because I'm pretty frugal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's expired. It's probably been expired a little over a year. Do I need to get? If it's not like milk, we know when milk expires. But a fire extinguisher. Am I making sense?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. And in the commercial business, they're required to be inspected annually.
Yes.
And what happens over time, because it is a dry powder in Texas, we have humidity and different moisture issues and things of that nature. Yeah. What will happen over time is that fire extinguisher powder will tend to cake up at the bottom. And then if you pull the handle to use it, you may just get a puff of air and not actually the agent that's needed.
Okay.
So my recommendation for home use is, you don't have to go out necessarily and buy one every year. Mm-hmm. First thing you want to look at is make sure that it's still under pressure. And if it's still under pressure, turn it over. If you have a rubber mallet, just beat it on the bottom. Just kind of shake it a little bit. Make sure you're breaking that agent up inside. And, you know, I would say probably every couple of years, replace it. They're not super crazy expensive, but they're not cheap either. But you know, what's the difference if your kitchen catches on fire and burns up?
That's true.
That's a lot more. Then have to go live a career,
or loss of life or something like that.
Loss of life. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and we appreciate it, Marshall. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one of the other things is obviously this time of year we're starting up our heaters. Coming from Kansas, it's a little different. We got snow and ice and all that fun stuff, which I don't miss, by the way. Have someone come in and check your heating system. If you have a fireplace, have someone come in and check and make sure that your chimney's properly.
Yeah.
There's not a bird nest or anything up in.
My in-laws, they have a problem with. So you mean even the furnace system and the attic, all that good stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah, because it just sits there. And you'd be surprised how many phone calls we get at the beginning of the cold season. Because when you initially start that heater up, we get that burning smell, the cobwebs and the dust and the dirt that's built up over time. So, but it's a good time just to have your AC and heating unit just checked out and just give it a once over and make sure that it's operating fine, because you could have an issue where the pilot light may not be working properly and now you're introducing gas into the house.
I grew up on a gas heater. I mean, we don't have that at the house, but I grew up on a gas heater.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember, Craig, smelling the gas in the house because it was left on or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's extremely dangerous. And we don't need that, especially for our folks here within the city and in the county.
Right.
We don't want the firemen to work harder than they have to. So we appreciate it. We appreciate it, Marshall. Can we take a break?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do a break real fast. We'll come back. More safety talk again. 979-836-9937. The number in the studio. Get your questions answered here on KWHI. Back after this.
Sick days make a busy week even tougher. This fall, you can keep illness at bay by scheduling a flu shot and taking care of all your preventive health needs with the friendly team at CHI St. Joseph and Texas A&M Health Network. Fall shouldn't be a fog. Schedule your appointment at chi.tamuhealth.org.
Ever wonder why ice cream is so good? It's because all the cows sleep on Sealy mattresses. Hi, I'm Anthony Jasinski, Brenham's own mattress guy, and I'm inviting you into my store this weekend to check out brands like Sealy, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. Even if you're sleeping as good as the cows, stop in, check out our line of sheets and pillows. And remember, the best buys are with Mattress Guys, located in the Bluebonnet Shopping Center, or call 836-1010 today.
You've kept your car in peak condition all year long, but did you know that you have to take extra steps to keep your car running smoothly during the winter months too? A winterization checkup with Brenham Tire and Auto will ensure that any services and adjustments you may need happen before the weather gets too cold and that your car is ready for whatever winter may throw at it. Don't let your battery die or your engine freeze over. Get your car to Brenham Tire and Auto, 605 South Bluebell Road, and get your vehicle winterized today.
The Brazos Valley Livestock Commission Company announces their fall replacement sale Saturday, December 5th, starting at 11. There will be bred cows, pairs, open, and heifers. Bred females and pairs, including big and fancy crossbred heifers, bred to LBW Lasker Angus Bull. Rayford heifers bred to LBW Angus Bull. Some pair, heavy bred Brangus cows, heavy bred Gert X Hereford heifers, heavy bred Brahman cows, Brahman pairs, Beefmaster heifers, crossbred cows, and Red Angus cows, and Brangus type cows, crossbred cows, Red Angus cows, and Brangus type cows. Open heifers include Gert X Hereford heifers, Brangus heifers, all one raising out of Cavender's Ranch bulls. Bulls include 10 Double Creek Angus bulls and 10 Pat Griswold Charlet bulls. Most will be sorted into uniform groups suitable for 4-H and FFA projects. That's the annual fall replacement sale this Saturday, December 5th at Brazos Valley Livestock Commission, 6097 East State Highway 21 in Bryan. Find out more online at BrazosValleyLivestock.net or bid online December 5th at CattleInMotion.com.
Get in the holiday spirit at this year's Christmas Stroll Friday and Saturday, December 4th and 5th in downtown Brenham. Friendly Country KWHI will be broadcasting live from the Stroll on Saturday from 10 till noon. This broadcast is brought to you in part by Ann Street Inn, Brianna's Salad Dressing, Organic Hip Botanicals, Pro Clean Car Wash, Budweiser My Copness Distributing, and Herman Furniture. Tune into KWHI M 1280 and FM 101.7 Saturday, December 5th for our live broadcast from the Christmas Stroll.
Norman's Pharmacy offers quality service and dedication to its customers. Norman's carries over-the-counter medicines and offers a full prescription service, including compounding in their store, and even offers pet prescriptions. They now also have certified CBD specialists. For your convenience, pick up your prescriptions at their drive-thru window. Norman's Pharmacy, 2105 South Day in Brenham. You'll find everything you need in one stop. Call Norman's Pharmacy at 836-5264 today.
Join all your friends for a Christmas of yesteryear at the Small Town Christmas this Friday and Saturday in downtown Belleville. We'll be there on Friday broadcasting live beginning at 5. This broadcast is brought to you in part by Belleville Rental, Capital Farm Credit, Buck Ferguson Originals, and LKL Insurance. Come see Santa, play in the snow, and participate in all the other fun activities at the Small Town Christmas in Belleville this Friday and Saturday.
Welcome back once again. Safety Talk here on KWHI, AM 1280 from 101.7. Today we've got in studio Safety Talk today, Sergeant Stephen Woodard. Today, as always, we do appreciate you coming in. Your busy schedule and visiting the folks here on Safety Talk.
Craig, I'm happy. I have you, but you're my ride or die. Batman and Robin, I'll be Robin. That's fine.
That's all right.
I'll be Robin, whatever, man.
I'm Batman.
You're my guy. And then, of course, I mean, we got the fire marshal in. I mean, what a treat. Marshal, we appreciate you coming in. If you don't know your fire chief, if you don't know your local fire marshal, that's your homework assignment to get to know your Brenham Fire Department. Real quick, again, you know, we're talking about lighting and Christmas lighting. We're trying to convince Craig to get some lights up. Do that, folks. Let's kind of get in the holiday spirit. We're here. Put a smile on your face and think about all the good things that, you know, think about all the good things that has happened this year, despite everything else. I'm always of the mindset of I can always find something good, Marshall, in a bad situation. So when we talk about lighting real quick, not only is a lot of these provisions that we talked about today a violation of the law, but again, it could affect your inspection process. You know, the question is always asked, you know, if I have a stop lamp or my rear lamps are not visible at 300 feet, will I fail inspection? You know, you talk about how, you know, it needs to be visible 300 feet. Will I fail inspection? Absolutely. Yes, you will. You'll fail inspection when it comes to that, if it's not visible at 300 feet. Another question that comes to mind is, you know, if I have a LED, if I have LED lights, that are out, will I fail inspection? Well, to answer that, if more than 50% of the LED lamp is not working, that causes the vehicle to fall up on the failure window when it comes to inspection. Another thing I want you to keep in mind is if you have smoke tint, all right, or spray on tint on any of your stop lamps, not only is it a violation of the law, but you will fail inspection. So keep that in mind. Not only is it a violation going down the road and you could be stopped by a trooper, police officer, or deputy, or you could actually cause a crash, but you won't be able to pass the state's inspection. And, you know, of course, our state inspection provisions are in place to ensure that every vehicle is safe while traveling down the roadway. Marshall, real quick.
Yeah.
So I cover Waller County as well. I'm always down there. Good folks in the area. And I know that right now they're up under a burn ban provision. What is a burn? Let's get this out of the way. We see it all the time. Burn ban. What is a burn ban and what constitutes a county to go into a burn ban?
Well, the burn ban is actually designed to stop the spread of fire. Of course, basically the atmospheric conditions, the soil conditions are not conducive for just straight open burning. Wind it may be windy. Obviously, we've got a lot of rain here recently, but we still haven't got enough and we're still behind. So right now, Washington County isn't under a burn ban that I'm aware of yet. But again, it's just designed to mitigate that opportunity, because if you get a high wind, it will go rather quickly, especially if it's very dry, as it has been. And then in the city of Brenham, of course, the city of Brenham has a no burning or open burning ordinance. Period. So, but we do allow recreational fire pits, and I get a lot of calls on those.
Oh, okay.
And those are your backyard pits that you can buy at Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, wherever.
Okay.
And they're just a specifically designed for that, just to sit on the back.
Is that because it's controlled, or?
Right.
I guess it's controlled, so to speak.
Yeah.
But if I'm, I don't know if you know, leaves are falling, I mean, literally,
mm-hmm.
Will I be in a bind if I rake up those leaves and kind of set my fire in the front yard or back?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
I got you.
Yep. You'd be in violation of city open burning ordinance. And even if you had a fire pit, you know, that's designed much like a fireplace. It's used for dry wood, just basically for recreation. The city does have a nuisance law if you're, you know, kind of be kind and be neighbor friendly.
Huh. Okay. All right. Wow. Well, I tell you what, Marshall, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you having me. It's been a great time. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. I'll say this. Man, you guys have an awesome chief. I appreciate him and his department, and I appreciate this city's fire marshal. Craig, as always, you know how I feel about you. I don't want to get lovey-dovey, but, man, you know where we stand. Folks, look, we're coming up on it. I can't wait till he comes to town, but we want to make this a safe holiday season going out into the new year. Remember those fatality numbers. And keep in mind, enjoy yourself and your family sober. Make sure you be mindful of your distractions and take care of yourself and everybody else.
There you go. All right, Marshall, if people have any questions, how do they get a hold of you and ask questions about any kind of... You know,
they can call me at my office, 979-337-7300, and I'll be glad to, you know, answer whatever questions I can, and we'll provide whatever service we can. We want a safe community, and I mirror what Officer Woodard said, and we just want everybody to have a safe and healthy. It's been a rough year, but we want to have a good finish. We want to finish strong.
There you go. Steve, anything? People contact if you have questions.
Yeah, if you need to contact me, you know my cell, 832-266-8239, or the best way, just email Craig and he'll get it to us.
It really is. You know, I send it off to you, and you're on it as soon as I send it to you.
Craig not only is the producer, the cut man, he's the bouncer, he's the secretary, he's all of that, so we thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in today. So we'll do it all again. We're going to try to get you in one more time before the year ends.
I'm ready.
We don't know what day he's going to come in yet, but one day before the year ends, you'll come in for another Safety Talk today on KWHI AM, K269GU FM in Brenham. Have a great day, everybody. This has been Safety Talk.
Highway Patrol. I'm the Highway Patrol. Highway Patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low, but I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the Highway Patrol.